Yeah, it's interesting as we transition into the lesson this morning. You see the title of the message, and you may be apt to think, okay, that looks awful lot like last week's message. And I was not joking last week when I said, you know, we've been studying the believer's walk in the Holy Spirit in our Sunday school class for the last 6 weeks. And I thought that would be a good transition, and I'll just make that into a sermon. I'm being a lazy preacher, like the pastor says, and combining what I've been learning through that Sunday school lesson into a sermon. And then I opened, because I was the song leader last week, I opened the bulletin, and there was the title of my message for Pastor. I'm like, you're kidding me, right? You know, Pastor Dave's going to teach my sermon a week early. But, you know, it's interesting, and like Pastor said, I couldn't preach Pastor Dave's sermon. We're completely different people, and actually the thoughts, and even though it's the same topic, you know, you may wonder, boy, we've been talking an awful lot about our walk. The pastor's been for the last several months off and on talking about our inner walk, our outer walk, and now our walk in the Spirit. And again, we're going to talk about our walk in the Spirit. Why is that? I'm tired of talking about our walk in the Spirit. Well, it's everything that we do. I mean, our lives and how we walk and how we live is our walk in the Spirit. It's our obedience to what God wants us to do with our lives. That's pretty important stuff. We could talk about that literally every week. Okay, we can't beat that to death. Because our walk and how we live our lives as Christians is crucial for us to fulfill the ministry that God has put us here to do. So that's what we're going to talk about again. If you open your Bibles and stand with me, we're going to read maybe not the passage you were thinking of, but we're going to read Matthew 5, 1 through 16. It's a very familiar passage from the Sermon on the Mount. And I have a bookmark in there somewhere. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And I'm going to continue on to verse 16. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Brother Tim, would you pray for the message this morning? Thank you, Tim. You may be seated. So, that's the Beatitudes that we just read there in Matthew 5. That's not necessarily the fruits of the Spirit. But don't you see a lot of similarities between the two? That was Jesus giving instruction and talking about what a believer's life should look like, right? And we only attain those things through the walk in the Spirit. Now, I had used that passage of Scripture several years ago for the first time when I got up in front and talked in front of people when my grandfather passed away. I don't know if any remember Emerson Wrights was my grandfather on my mom's side. And one of the things that whenever I read that, I pictured my grandfather. My grandfather had those characteristics in his life. he lived according to those words and those verses. And he was just a great example to me, thank goodness, for me to look up to as a grandfather. It's wonderful to have a godly influence in your life like my grandfather was. All my grandparents were very godly examples for me in my life. But one of the things that stood out with Emerson, my grandfather there, is he lived all those things with absolute humility. He was a very quiet, soft-spoken man. He wasn't loud. He was quiet. He was meek. He was gentle. You hardly ever heard a harsh word from him. He was so humble. He realized that all those things that happened in his life were a gift from God. And, you know, that's one of the things that I want to focus on a little bit this morning, is that we need humility if we are going to walk in the Spirit. Because all those things that walking in the Spirit produces, those fruits of the Spirit, require us to submit to someone else's authority besides our own. Walking in the Spirit requires us to submit to God's will in our lives. And that's a decision that we make. We're going to talk about that decision a little bit later. We make that decision every day. Are we going to live according to God's will for our lives, or are we going to choose to live with our selfish desires that we want to see take place in our lives because we want to be more comfortable, we want to be happier, we want to be, you know, and we look at earthly, selfish things. But walking in the Spirit is the opposite of that. It is being selfless. It's giving up our lives to walk in the way that God intends us to walk and wants us to walk. One of the things that should humble us is the mere gift of the Holy Spirit itself. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit, who this Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is God, right? Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. God is God. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's part of the Trinity. They are all one God. Okay? Sometimes we want to put levels. We put God on the top. We put Jesus just under here and the Holy Spirit just here. They are all just as significant because they are all God. Okay? You know, none of us would be here as believers if it wasn't for the conviction that the Holy Spirit brings to our lives. Think about that for a minute. When we talk about the Holy Spirit working in the lives of unbelievers, okay? When you think back to when you were an unbeliever, something happened for you to recognize that you were a sinner, could not save yourself, and you needed a Savior to save you, right? That conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. You didn't come up with that on your own. You know, I listened to a message, and I think Braden shared it on YouTube, and there's a lot of garbage on the internet, but sometimes we find some things that are good. And it was an Australian pastor that was talking about the humility of our salvation. He says, if someone comes to you as a Christian and asks you, how did you become a Christian? How were you saved? And you start the conversation with the word I. Well, I realized, or I did this, or I did that. You're looking at your salvation wrong. If you look at your salvation from the point that, well, Jesus found me when I was still a sinner, and he saved me. It's not anything that we did. Jesus saves people, right? And the Holy Spirit convicts us and shows us that we're a sinner and that we need a Savior in our lives. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the gift from God of the Holy Spirit. Okay? If you really stop and dwell on that, it's a pretty incredible thought. I want you to turn your Bibles with me, and we're going to start getting into... I made an outline. Can anybody believe it? I've never made an outline in my life. Okay? But Steve asked me, do you have an outline for the... He asked me every time I preach. He said, do you have an outline for this week? And it's usually, nah, because... I don't like outlines because it keeps me on, I have to stay organized and in order. And I said, you know what? I got an outline this week. So this is scary. This is uncharted territory. So I may have to walk back to the pulpit more often because I have to stay in line. But turn to John chapter 14. Here's the other thing I just realized. I think this is the first time that I realized up here. I don't know if it's a Bible I chose to bring up here, but I got to take my glasses off so I can read the words of my Bible and put them back on so I can see you. So that's, age, I guess. John chapter 14, starting verse 16, we're going to read down to 21. And it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live. You will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." The indwelling of the Spirit is only, that indwelling that they're talking about there only happens to believers. Okay? It is a precious gift given to believers to help us understand how God wants us to live out our lives. We uncovered an interesting statement the other week in our Sunday school lessons. Do you realize, or does the world realize that if you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer, if you haven't been born again, you're part of Satan's family? That's sad. Now, you know, we have people in the world that worship Satan and call themselves Satanists, and that's evil personified. That's it. But don't we have a whole lot of people in this world who are just going through life thinking that I'm a pretty good person, I do good things, I help my community out? But if they don't put their faith in the saving power of the gospel, if they don't put their faith in Jesus Christ, if they don't believe that Jesus Christ is their Savior, they're still part of Satan's family. That's a tough pill to swallow, isn't it? That's why it's so important that we live our lives walking by the Spirit, so that we can fulfill the great commandment, so that we can bring others to a saving knowledge of Christ. Okay, we need to spread the gospel message, and the only way we can do that effectively is if we're walking by the Spirit. Jump down then in that same chapter, John 14, to verses 25 through 27. "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I am going to my Father, for my Father is greater than I." I went one verse too far there, but that's okay. I didn't follow the outline. Jesus promised the disciples that they would not be left alone, that he would send a helper to them, and that then, and only then, would they understand and remember all the things that he had talked about in his ministry, right? You know, we look at the ministry in the New Testament and the Gospels, and we talk about the disciples sometimes just didn't seem like they were getting it, right? And there were things that Jesus was talking about in his parables and stuff, and they kept asking questions that we realize, boy, they just wasn't sinking in. But he said once the Holy Spirit came, he was going to make all those things clear to them, right? If you look at 26 again, the Holy Spirit is a helper, a teacher, someone that would bring them peace. That only is available through the Holy Spirit. Again, that precious gift that God gave to the disciples. Look back just in between those two scripture verses, or sections of scripture we read, in between there, verse 23. Says, "Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Okay? That means God living in us. Can you imagine that? Think about that for a second, okay? If the Holy Spirit is God, and Jesus is God, and he said, and we will live and make our home in you. That's an incredible thought. You know, think about your home life and who you live with, okay? A lot of times that's our spouses, maybe our children still, maybe not, okay? But what are those relationships like? We know a lot about each other, don't we? Well, if God is living in us, shouldn't we know a lot about God? Doesn't God know everything about us? I think it's so funny when, you know, sometimes we as humans think that we can get away with things, right? We can hide things from people. It might be a sin issue in our lives. We can hide it from our spouse. We can hide it from our family. But can we ever hide anything from God? Absolutely not. And it's foolish to think that we can, because God living in us, he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows every hair on our head. He knows every thought in our mind. That's scary, isn't it? Think about that. He knows every thought in your mind. Oh my goodness. Would you be happy if your spouse knew every thought in your mind? Or if your pastor knew every thought in your mind? Right? Or we knew his. Yeah, that's scary. We knew his. There's Brother Richard speaking truth right there. Oh my. All right. Let's move on to point number two on your outline. My outline looks a little different than yours, so I'm hoping I can stay on track with this. It talks about the Spirit's power. We've talked a lot about the Spirit's power in our Sunday school lessons, and it's hard to wrap our minds around everything that the Spirit is capable of doing. But I want you to think about this thought. Through the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, we can accomplish anything that we put our minds to. Anything that within God's will that he wants to do through us, we are capable of doing with the power of the Holy Spirit. But without the Holy Spirit, we can accomplish nothing. You know, it's interesting. Anybody look at the sky last night? Within 5 or 10 minutes of last night, you could see two things happen. You could see the International Space Station cross. And then about 5 or 10 minutes later, I called Tara out of the house because you could see the new Skylink satellites go across the sky in a perfect line. If you haven't seen it yet, it's kind of weird looking. I mean, it's bizarre because they're in a straight line going across. It looks like an alien invasion. Now, you think of all the men and all the technology and all the everything it took to put those satellites up there, okay, and put the International Space Station up there, right? That seems like, man can really accomplish a lot, right? It's nothing compared to what God can do, right? I thought of this, you know, we think about a man building a skyscraper. I'm in the building industry. I work for Leather Lumber. We build lots of things, okay? But you build this big fancy mansion or this big fancy skyscraper, and they stand back and man goes, wow, look what I built. That's incredible. Look at me, right? And all God has to do is shake the ground, and that thing will be rubble in the blink of an eye, right? God has that kind of power. Do we realize and recognize the power of the Holy Spirit? Okay? We put limits on the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we make excuses. You ever find yourself making excuses of why you can't do things? I do it all the time, right? Well, especially when it comes to witnessing to others and sharing the gospel message. Well, I'm not really a people person. I don't talk well, you know. What if they ask questions and I might not know the answer to them, right? I don't want to go there, right? We always make excuses why we might not witness to others, why we might not spread the gospel message. But look, folks, God puts us out there to rely on him, to rely on the Holy Spirit, to get us to witness to others, to have the boldness to preach the gospel message to others, to share our experience with others, okay? The Spirit has no limits. You know, we talked there a little bit about Jesus giving the Holy Spirit to help give the disciples wisdom. He does the same thing for you and me. You think back to, again, when you were a new believer and you opened the Word of God, and when you read some of these things, you went, wow, what does that mean? Right? But as we mature and as we grow as Christians, as we become more spiritually mature, doesn't the Bible make a lot more sense to us? You know, I'm going to make a confession, okay? We have some newer people here that don't know me as well as maybe some of you do, but I've told you this before. I do not have an ounce of official Bible class knowledge. I've never been to Bible school. I've never been to a Bible class. They didn't teach Bible at Shikellamy High School, and I never went to college, okay? My kids went to Northumberland Christian. I can guarantee you all my older three kids have more Bible education than I have, okay? But the Holy Spirit has used this church, the opportunities that I've been nudged into, people like Ken Goki encouraging me to not use that as an excuse and to get up and put into practice what I'm preaching, right? It first was with a high school Sunday school class, and then it became helping Chris out with the adult Sunday school class, and that's a big step. You know, it's one thing to teach children about God, but then when you're starting to teach, and the pastor sits in on my Sunday school class, you know, when I get stumped on something or whatever, I'm not speaking something in confidence, I kind of look to him like, am I going to get the nod that that's right, or am I going to get the nod, no, that's wrong, right? That's a little intimidating. But the Holy Spirit has used all those circumstances to help me understand Scripture better. I can be absolutely honest with you. That's the blessing of being a Sunday school teacher, is that it forces you into God's Word to prepare your lesson, and it just makes you study harder. And so, again, that's the Holy Spirit bringing understanding to this. Here's something else that the Holy Spirit does. He frees us from the power of sin. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. And it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Think about that for a minute. You know, we had, when sin entered the world, when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they sinned and the fall of man, God said that sin separated us from God, right? Now that Jesus has come, died on the cross for our sins and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that law doesn't exist anymore. We are one with Him. If you are saved by Jesus Christ, you cannot be plucked away. Your salvation is eternal and secure, right? Doesn't mean that we aren't going to sin. Doesn't make us perfect Christians. Doesn't mean that we are sinless. But we should be a work in progress, shouldn't we? As we mature as believers, as we grow in Christ, the Holy Spirit convicts us and shows us our sin and makes it more evident to us that we should leave that sin behind and we should be living more holy lives. That's part of maturing as a believer. It's the Holy Spirit working in our lives and showing us how bad sin is. Doesn't mean that we're not going to still stumble. Doesn't mean that we're not going to fall. But that's another powerful gift of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. That gift of the Holy Spirit, you know, think back to a passage that Jesus shared with the disciples. He said, John baptized you with water, but I will baptize you in what? The Holy Spirit, right? So we have that security of not being separated from God anymore because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? It frees us from that law of sin. The other thing it does, and we've talked about this a little bit, it gives us a boldness to share the gospel with others. Turn over to Acts 4:31. Acts 4:31. I think that's right. I didn't mark that one, so I'm going to turn. You'll beat me. All right, and to put us in the context we're coming into here is Peter and John have just performed a miracle, and it displeased the local officials, and they've been questioned, and they've been told not to speak the name of Jesus Christ anymore, right? And so, what does Acts 4:31 say? And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Two things. It gave them the ability and the power to pray and ask God for what they needed. And in this case, they needed boldness to spread the gospel message, even though the officials were threatening to arrest them if they kept speaking in the name of Jesus Christ. Do we pray and ask God for that kind of boldness in our lives? We should. But often our prayer life consists of things that we need, things that we want, things that we're struggling with, right? Are we praying for spiritual maturity? Are we praying to grow in Christ? Are we praying for boldness to reach others with the gospel message? That we can only do through the power of the Holy Spirit. That takes us to point number three, I believe, on your outline. Turn back over to Romans again, chapter 8. And we're going to go a little deeper there. We're going to go to verse 5, and I'm going to read 5 through 11. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Wow. There's a lot to unravel there, isn't there? Like the pastor would say, we might be here till noon. No, I promise you, we won't be here that long. Are we living by the Spirit? I said it before, earlier in the message. It's a choice that we make every day, right? We can choose to live our lives according to what God wants us to do, or we can live according to the flesh. Fruitful Christians live by the Spirit. Carnal Christians live by the flesh. And you might say, well, you know, I don't live by the flesh. I don't desire fleshly things. What they're talking about there is you know, sexually immoral things and that kind of thing. That's not true. Sins of the flesh, seeking the flesh is seeking anything that's worldly. Anything that makes ourselves, that puts ourselves first in front of Christ, right? It might be something at work. How do I get that promotion at work? What do I have to do to get that promotion at work? So that I can make more money, so that I can live more comfortably, and I can have as fancy a house as that neighbor, right? That's fleshly things. That's things on our mind that if we're thinking about those kind of things when we wake up every morning, we're not living according to the Spirit, right? We're not putting God first in our lives, okay? It could be something as simple as how do I make those friends at school like me more, right? We shouldn't be worried so much about who likes us, who doesn't like us. We should be comparing ourselves to what does God think of us? What does God think of the life that we're living? That's the person we should compare ourselves to. But so often, what do? We compare ourselves to the person next door, the person sitting across from us in the pew, right? Well, I'm better than that person. I'm not as bad as that person. I do more than this person does. What are we doing? We're comparing ourselves to other people in the world around us. We're not comparing ourselves to the example that Jesus Christ gave us in His life here on earth, right? and the example that God gives us in His Word. This is God's Word. This is God's instruction manual on how we should live a godly life. If we are living a life by the Spirit, we are obeying what's in His Word. Right? That brings us to topic number 4. Walking in the Spirit produces fruit. Now, I think sometimes, at least myself, I look at this in the wrong way. And we've talked about this a little bit. Because we get to the fruits of the Spirit, we talk about things that sometimes we struggle with in our lives. And you can pick any out of the list, you know. I'm probably not the most gentle person sometimes. And my meekness might need some work. And we've all heard the countless stories of how Andy doesn't have very good patience, right? But this morning, we talked in our Sunday school class, we're going now through the fruits of the Spirit one by one, and we're talking about patience. And the patience we talked about in our Sunday school class this morning was different than the patience that Andy struggles with sometimes, because the patience that we've talked about in my life sometimes comes from anger, comes from an outburst. Something goes wrong in my life, and my reaction is a lack of patience because I want things to happen now. Or if I'm working on something and something breaks and I throw a tool down through the woods, that's showing a lack of patience, right? Okay. But the patience that they're talking about this morning was our patience in our spiritual lives, okay? Are we patient in our ministry here in this church? Do we have forbearing and long-suffering with those among our own congregation who might maybe just irritate us a little bit, but are still a vital part of our ministry? You know, if you are honest, we all have different ideas and different ways to go about serving Christ here at this church, right? We don't all think exactly alike, do we? We think like-mindedly in some things. That's why you're here. But we don't all have the exact same minds. We all think about different ways to go about different ministries. But doesn't mean one's right and one's wrong. They're just different. So do we tolerate, do we show love for one another by forbearing and putting up with those things that maybe just don't agree with us the most, so that our whole ministry can serve together in unity and fulfill the commandment of Christ, and that's to spread the gospel message to the community around us. Okay? That's the kind of patience it's talking about. The other patience it talked about was, you know, we want to see people come to know Christ, right? When we are working together in unity, we want to talk about how we want to see people get saved, right? And we want to see it in our time. Our job is to plant seeds. I've said this in my messages before. Our job is to plant seeds. Our job is to spread the gospel message and then let the Holy Spirit work in the life of that person. It's not, timing isn't up to us. And sometimes that requires patience. When we get frustrated, like in the youth ministry, you know, we've done a youth ministry for a long time. And there are some kids that come for a couple years and then they disappear and we don't see them again. And we go, man, we're just not getting through to these kids. I might as well just give up, right? No. You don't know how you've affected that child's life. They've heard the message. They've heard, planted the seed. It might be 5 years. It might be 10 years down the road. They're going to come into a circumstance in their life. They're going to need to lean on something. Hopefully they remember what you taught them. And they turn to God, right? That's our hope. We can't give up. Because if we give up and we don't follow through and we don't endure, we may not see the blessings that God has in store for us. Okay? That's the kind of patience. And we could go down through this list and we could talk about all the things and we could write a whole nother message just on the fruits of the Spirit. But the one I want to end with and the one I want to close with is of course, the top of the list, the one we always want to talk about, and that's love, right? Are we showing God's love to those people around us? See, if we don't show Christ-like love to our community, we're never going to reach them with the gospel message. We have to love our neighbors. We have to love, here it is, our enemies, right? That's the hard one. It's hard for me. It's hard to love someone that doesn't love you back. Right? But that's what the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do. And He gives us the power to do it because He first showed it to us. He sent His Son to die on the cross for us while we were yet sinners. There is no greater love than that. That's the kind of love we need to show to everybody else. And we can only do that if we're walking in the Spirit. If we are letting God control our lives, if we are surrendering ourselves to Him. And we have to remember, we go back to the beginning of the message when I talked about humility. All these things have to happen. It's not through me. It's not anything that I'm doing. It's what God is doing through me. Are we a willing vessel? Are we a willing servant surrendering to God's will to serve Him? That's what it means to walk by the Spirit. So I hope, again, that this didn't bore you. Was not the same. Definitely wasn't the same message the pastor preached last week, right? Tim shake his head. No, that's good. I got some affirmation from Tim there. Let's bow and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again for the gift of the Holy Spirit.